Welcome back to All Things Northwest on KXCV KRNW. We're talking today with golf legend Tom Watson. I'd like to explore just a bit, Tom, some advice, some Tom Watson-based advice to youth, if you will. For kids, you focus the golf swing on grip, body posture, and ball position. What would you tell a child on the driving range right out here at Mazinga that's swinging for a club for the first time? What would you tell them?
Well, a couple of things. Swing as hard as you can, but stay in balance. Finish with your belly button toward the hole and swing hard. You know, just give it a whack. Because when you're a kid, you've got to learn how to hit the ball with your hands and hit it hard with your hands. It's not an easy, you want to make a violent, kids want to hit the ball hard, hit it far. Tell them it's okay. But don't let them Happy Gilmore it or something like that. They got to stay in balance and hit the ball. But give them good instruction there. I also would tell them, I said, you spend a lot of time putting for dimes in that putting clock over there. Go with your friends. Get yourself a pocket of dimes if you have them. Now, if you don't have them, then you're really good. Like Trevino said, I learned a lot about pressure when I was playing for $10. I only had $5 in my pocket. I used to do that when I was a kid playing against the older putt against the older guys, and it made me a good putter. You learned, those things from my experience. But I think overall, it takes the three D's overall: the desire, the determination, and the dedication. It's not only golf but everything in life. And the one thing about the game of golf, I think it commands respect. It commands a respectful way in which people play the game. They're not yelling in your backswing, yelling, miss it. They're not trying to cheat, although, cheating goes on. But professional golf, you get caught cheating, you're done. It's not like in baseball where you get caught cheating. No big deal. Or football, pulling the basketball like this, those are fouls. When they call a foul in golf, it's either a two-shot penalty or a disqualification. And two-shot penalty, when you're playing for $1 million, is a lot of money. And it gets your attention. Cheating is really frowned upon. And the temptation to cheat is there. It's a human condition. And you just have to... You have to understand. You have to take your lumps sometimes, doing the right thing when nobody's looking. That's golf. That's the epitome of golf. You go out there and you're playing, and you make a mistake and move the golf ball with your club head in the rough. It's a penalty. You have to add a shot to your score. Why? Well, it just moved a little bit. Sorry, that's the rule. And that's what golf teaches you, that it's not a fair game, but on the other hand, the bounces will go your way. If you play it long enough, the bounces will even out for sure.
What would you tell kids about the mental approach to the game?
Well, the mental approach to the game is the most important thing. It's a game. Have fun. Go out and have fun. Play with your buddies. Play with your friends. Go out and have some fun. The rules are there, but things go. You go ahead and play. We used to play winter rules in the fairways. When the fairways weren't in good condition, we were allowed. When you hit the ball in the fairway, you're allowed to move the ball into a good lie, and hit it from there. Yeah, fine. Have fun. Hit it. If you had to put it on a tee, go ahead and put it on a tee. And it's just have some fun playing the game. Get to the point where you hit that good shot or the series of those good shots make you want to come back. And the game is such a challenging game because there's not any perfection in this game. You can't sustain perfection. You can get close to it. You can hit the perfect shot every now and then, the perfect shot. But that's every now and then. Maybe in my heyday, if I hit a perfect shot twice in a tournament, that was pretty good. I've played a lot of tournaments where I never hit even close to a perfect shot. And the perfect shot means you hit exactly the way you want it hit on the club face. The ball flew through the air exactly the way you wanted it. The ball ended up exactly where you wanted it. And that's the perfect shot. And that, it might be a yard left or a yard right. It's not perfect. Sometimes it's perfect.
And what advice would you give kids about friendship and core values that they can learn from golf right here at the junior golf course?
Well, golf can be a social sport. It can be an individual sport, but it's also a social sport. If you play with your friends, you're going to have a good time playing. You're going to have a good time playing and maybe competing against your friends. But the core values that the first tee expresses are very important, not only for golf but for life. And it's the wonderful thing about the first tee. It creates a situation where you can teach the kids the game of golf through the types of values that you would like them to have for the rest of their lives. From honesty to sportsmanship to all sorts of different things that we as adults would like to see our kids have. And the First Tee program teaches those to the kids. They use golf as a hook, but they teach them what do you do when it's just you and the golf ball and something happens and there's a penalty involved? What do you do?
Well, Tom, to close the interview, if we can kind of go full circle, we started talking briefly about your career. And as we close this interview, let's talk about your thoughts, your impacts in the sport of golf on the course. What are your impacts that you're leaving to golf? You're not done, I know that, but what are the impacts that the impact that you've had on the sport, on the course?
On the course?
Yes.
Well, the only thing that I say is, people ask me, well, what do you think your legacy is? And I tell them very simply, that's not my decision to determine what my legacy is. The only thing I hope that people remember me for on the golf course is that Tom Watson. Yeah, he was a hell of a golfer. That's all I care about.
Well, I think
when I grew up, I was kind of I wanted to prove to my dad I could hit that shot. I wanted to prove to him that and get that approval from my dad. And the same thing here, over a long career, I hope that I entertain enough people with enough good shots that they say, yeah, that Watson, he was a hell of a golfer.
My dad passed last summer. I was reflecting on him as I was getting ready for this interview coming here, and I said, that Tom Watson's a hell of a golfer. So, I think people all can get around that. What about impacts off the course, though? What impacts have you had and will you continue to have off the course?
The main thing is what kind of parent are you? What have you taught your children? And that's the most important thing. When you have children, it's your responsibility to raise them the right way. We all make mistakes, but you try to do the right thing or the next right thing. Sometimes you make a mistake and then you make up for it. Help those people who can't help themselves, literally can't help themselves. I think that's what we need to do. There's people that have all kinds of different issues with life. And one of the things we have to do is try to help them. Give them a hand up rather than hand out a lot of times. Sometimes it requires a hand out. But the thing is, we want our kids to be self-sufficient. This country is built on self-sufficiency, not dependency. And that's what I try to teach my kids. And when I talk to other kids, not my own kids, I'm always looking for that. Do they have it? Are they thinking about how they can you see that they can make a good life for themselves? Do they have the right thought process to get through life the right way? And there are other kids that are just children of mercy. The kids who are in there in the happiest days of their life, They go into the hospital and they get well. They get fixed. Prior to that, they were suffering. They didn't know what was going on. They see those doctors and they get scared, and they, blessedly so, they come out and they get well. To help, I'm not a doctor. I don't do that, but to help raise funds and awareness for organizations like that. To help raise funds and awareness for the disease, for research to try to find a cure for the disease that killed my caddy, Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS. That's a continuing chore for me. It's not a chore. I continue to do it, and the main thing we can do is try to help fund the research. I have a great respect for our military, the U.S. military, what they do to protect our country, and do things for our country which nobody else can do. They have their issues, and I try to help them out in a little way that I can. Try to help young kids who don't have dads become men. Young boys don't have dads. No male figure to be able to learn how to be a male figure. Involved with a program with that called Boys to Men. That's a wonderful program, a series of mentors. It's like it has a profound impact on a lot of young people, young boys' lives. Those types of things. If I can use whatever I have, my resources, to try to help people in my limited ways, and I'm going to do it.
Well, closing question then, because there's no question that you've helped out so many across all those projects, ALS research and the Wounded Warrior Project, and certainly Children's Mercy and First Tee and all that it does. Closing question, Tom. Tom Watson designed Junior Golf Course, Mazingo Lake Recreation Park, set to open summer 2015, sometime maybe near around a St. Andrews trip and so on. What do you see for this course, and what's the closing advice you have for those listening, for those watching, that say, wow, this is a very, very special project?
I just hope that I look out of that golf course from up here at the clubhouse, and I just see every fairway filled with kids playing the game. That's what I hope for, and I want to continue to be that way. I want it to be filled. I want kids to fall in love with the game like I did, if they can, and play the game for the rest of their lives. That's what that course is designed to do.
Well, Tom Watson, thank you. Thank you for sharing your time today.
Thanks, John.
Thanks for sharing your love of the game, love of youth, helping spread so many good works, because you have and you continue to do that. It's very clear. And those works include this junior course at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. Thank you very much, Tom.
John, it's been a pleasure.
When we return, we'll visit with Maryville's own Dr. Bruce Twaddle and learn about how he was spurred to act on behalf of youth and how he has garnered the help of so many to make a vision become reality. You're listening to All Things Northwest on KXEV, KRNW.
Support for KXCV KRNW comes from United Electric Cooperative, providing power to members in Missouri and Iowa. United Electric reminds you to be safe this planting season by knowing the location of power lines and keeping farm equipment at least 10 feet away. More information is at ueci.coop. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Clarinda Regional Health Center. CRHC proudly offers joint management from physician consultation, education, physical therapy, and non-surgical treatments to total knee replacement. More information on CRHC's programs, services, and healthcare providers can be found at clarindahealth.com. Support for KXCV KRNW comes from Atchison and Holt Electric Cooperative, providing power to members in Northwest Missouri and Southwest Iowa. Atchison Holt Electric reminds you to be safe this planting season by knowing the locations of power lines and keeping farm equipment at least 10 feet away. More information is at ahec.coop.
Welcome back to All Things Northwest on KXCB KRNW. I'm your host, John Jasinski. In segment two of this month's program, we are pleased to welcome Dr. Bruce Twaddle to All Things Northwest. Bruce was born right here in Maryville. He attended the Horace Mann Lab School at the campus of Northwest Missouri State University and graduated from Maryville High School. An athlete, an Eagle Scout, Bruce graduated from the University of Missouri Columbia with his undergraduate degree in physical therapy and graduated from the dental school at the University of Missouri, Kansas City. Bruce returned to Maryville to practice dentistry in 1983. Since his return, he has been a very, very active member of the Maryville community, serving as chairman of both the Maryville Parks and Recreation and Northwest Missouri Regional Airport Board of Directors. He is widely known for dental implants, and along with wife Polly, his kids, he supports the Spoofhounds, the Bearcats, and Missouri Tiger Athletics. Bruce, welcome to All Things Northwest.
John, it's my pleasure to be with you.
It is great to have you, Bruce. You know, we've interviewed Tom Watson. We've talked about the Watson 9, the Watson-designed youth course at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. But you know, that has to start from somewhere. We can talk a lot. We go back many years, Bruce, and we can talk about how you got into golf, and we probably should, but let's talk about the course first. Describe the source of your vision for that junior course and the focus on youth golf.
Well, the background of my youth was a little bit different than Tom's. I didn't have opportunities that I could really, that I could find myself on a golf course. I began caddying when I was young. I caddied in a lot of tournaments for a number of players. They're pretty good players from the Maryville community, but they saw a kid that was trying to make a buck, and so they would take me on trips with them to tournaments around Missouri. And so that was my introduction, but I never really had an opportunity to really get out and play, very much just chipping and putting around. But and I think maybe that was a source of my vision, is that the opportunity needs to be there for lots of kids. And so that's what we saw. And, you know, I've thought about it before. There were some discussions that I've had with other members of the community about that in the past. But in 2011, I traveled to the to Great Britain for the British Open. It was held that year in Sandwich, England at Royal St. George's. Tom was there. Tom played, and I followed him for a number of holes. But prior to the tournament, we were able to take a little side trip up to Scotland, and we traveled to this course called North Berwick. I knew nothing about North Berwick prior to playing the course, and it's a very unusual course. It's a very old course, been there since the 1830s, and they have some phenomenal holes there. A lot of golf architects like Tom are well acquainted with the course because there's some unusual holes there, like the number 15 Redan hole that architects like Jack Nicklaus have used on almost every course he's built. He has a Redan hole that's designed after that. And there's several other holes there too that golf course architects have mimicked or made made available on the courses that they've constructed. But the most impactful thing that I saw while I was there was the youth course. And my caddy pointed it out to me as we were walking along, and he said, "You see those kids that are playing over there?" And I'm like, "Sure." And he said, "Well, that's our youth course." And he said, it's as well cared for as this course is. And the reason is, it's the future. It's the future of our game, of those kids. And then he said, "Before you leave, take a look at the sign." And I think we've talked about that sign that was at the entrance to the youth course that said, "No adults allowed unless under the supervision of a child," which, you know, I think it's hilarious and it's great, but I really think it talks about how our kids lead us. And so, so after returning from that trip, and that was in 2011 in July, and so I thought about it a little bit, and then in the summer of 2012, we started having some discussions with some other people in Maryville, and we called a meeting, and I think there were five or six of us that were at the meeting. This would be in the summer of 2012. And we talked about this idea of building a youth course. And we knew we had some land out here that we might be able to do that. And it's exactly where we ended up building this course. We knew there was 25 to 30 acres there that was not used, and it had some contours that looked like it might be a good place for a golf course. So from this group, in the summer of 2012, we started investigating what these possibilities might be. And from the very beginning, we wanted to do it right. We wanted to have the right architect involved with it. Because lots of people can build a golf course, but not everyone could build it like we wanted. No one would share that vision with us. And so Tom Watson we spoke of Tom Watson and his design group in our very first meeting. And it was a dream at that time. We had no idea how we were going to do it, how we were going to make that connection with Tom, but we were able to do it. And so that was in the summer of 12, and then we started doing some work and bringing some things together. I think in March of 13 then, we finally made contact with, it was probably in January or February, but in March of 13, Bob Gibbons, Bob's chief design architect with the Watson Design Group, came to Maryville. He met with us here at the clubhouse, and we went out, we walked the land, and then Bob was able to give us a routing. And we needed that routing so that we could begin to share a vision. So we put it on paper so people could begin to see that. That was in March. In April, we went to the Mzingo Advisory Group. They were very interested in what it was that we were trying to do. Then we visited with the city council in April. The Mzingo Advisory Group came with us to the meeting. They were all there to show their support for what they thought this would be a good project. And one of the premises that we had was that we were going to do this with private funds and not use public funds, because we thought we wanted to make this with as little controversy as we could.
That's an unbelievable story relative to 2011, 2012. You fast forward to 13, but this whole vision all along, Bruce, you know, you talk about your early game and being a player, and the vision kind of started as a young golfer. But even with the group coming together and you kind of scoped out some land and the course is going to be exactly where you, I mean, that vision is becoming a reality, but usually visions here and reality is a little different. You guys set forth that vision, and now that reality is right in front of us. You know, summer of 2015 set to open. How did you make that vision a reality?
I think that group had a single vision, and we were united from the very beginning. There wasn't a lot of, there were no arguments about the things that we were trying to do. I think everyone was on the same page. And I think it was also vital to the project that we had such positive attitude with not only those members in that group, but then as we shared the vision with others, I don't remember hearing negative things about it. And then I think we were really fortunate that we're in a community that has really good, supportive administration at city government and the city council, that Mzingo Advisory Group. Everyone was supportive of the idea. And that made it easy to fundraise, John. Once we were able to share that vision, and we needed that routing. We had to have that routing. And so I don't even know if I can tell you how we came to the point that we had Tom Watson grab a hold of the project. I think it's a little bit of a mystery, because we knew that the project would be much, much easier to sell if we had someone like Tom, who's a Midwesterner, legendary golfer, five-time British Open winner. Almost six, and maybe six.
That's right. Yeah,
we've got another chance here in July. So I don't even know how we got that to happen, really. It was a convoluted way. There were some connections that were made with some really important people that were friends of Tom's. And I think one of the things, I don't take no for an answer. And I think that our group kind of had that attitude, too. We weren't going to take no for an answer. We're going to make things happen. And I think that only happens when you have a positive attitude. And it's easy to have a positive attitude when the concept is good. So that leads to the fundraising.
So describe a little bit about Tom Watson's first visit to Maryville, and you meet him, and what happens during that first visit?
Well, we had the routing, the initial routing, and the community had supported it, and we were beginning to move forward with fundraising at that point. I think it was maybe in... It was in the summer then of 2013 when Tom was here. And he wanted to know, he wanted to hear from us. He wanted to hear from our group about what is it you want. I think that was important to him. He wanted to know we were wanting things for the right reason. Because at that point, they'd given us a routing, but we hadn't moved on to what it was going to involve their group in the architectural plans. How detailed was it going to be? And so, but Tom, that morning that he met with us, the first thing he asked was, I'm going to sit here and I just want to hear you guys talk. I don't want to talk. I want to hear you guys talk about what it is that you have this vision of. And so we just shared some of the things that I just shared with you, John. And so I think, you know, as we move forward from that, it was all positive from Tom.
And how has it been to work with Tom and his design team? I mean, I know that they've been here. They've visited. Tom has been here personally several times and so on. But talk about the interactions that you've had with them.
Well, I'd say they're accessible. That's the nice thing. They respond to us when we have questions. I think they're more hands-on than I thought they would be. And then also we involve Mid-America Golf and Landscape in Kansas City as a contractor. And that was really Tom's request. He wanted them because he had worked with them before. And so Rick Boylan with Mid-America Golf had worked with Tom on a number of other projects. And in fact, Rick had been the general contractor on our Mazingo course. So he was familiar with this course as well. And he was familiar with working with Ron Darnell, and they'd had a good relationship. So it all was working together nicely. We didn't have a lot of conflicts and discussions about how things were going to move forward because they were all on the same page to begin with. It made it very nice.
You've been able to garner foundations, private individuals, variety of organizations, gather their support. And I know you don't take no for an answer because personally we've got a lot of interactions that way. But what's the sales pitch? How do you get people involved? And I mean, we're talking about a wide, wide swath of organizations, individuals, and so on.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think I see that the golf course is the vehicle, but the kids are going to drive the program. And that was the important thing, and I think that's what sold the program, was looking at the youth program that was based on those core values of the first T, you know, perseverance and honesty and integrity. And those nine core values of the first T will be incorporated with Kyle Easter's program with the Junior Golf Academy here on the Watson design course. And so that made it easy because I think it's one thing to just build a recreational facility. It's quite another thing to have a program that people can embrace. And I think that's what we have with this Junior Academy that Kyle's developing with others in his committee that's going to move forward. So that made it an easy sell to the individuals.
Talk about the course itself then, Bruce. Unique features that you see. Now, I'm not talking about from Tom Watson's point of view, design point of view, but what do you see as unique features of this Watson-designed course?
It looks playable to me. It's all out in front of you, but it's interesting. When I'm on a golf course, I'm not a great golfer, John. I'm an okay golfer. Mm. But when I'm on a course, I love
listeners,
golf
I'm not
courses.
Sure that's true, but that's okay.
No, it's true. But when I'm on a golf course, I'm looking at that course as an interesting place to walk and an interesting place to look at. And so Tom repeatedly asked Rick Boylan to sexy up the course. And I think that's what we have. We have a course that's got a lot of curves. It's got a lot of interesting things about it. I don't think it's extremely penal, but at the same time, it's going to provide unusual stances. The ball's going to collect in kind of cool areas, and so the greens have some character. They have some undulation to them that is interesting. And as Tom pointed out, we've got four or five traps that kids and new golfers need to learn to hit from. And so those things are there on the course. But it's beautiful out here. It's this place is a beautiful place, and so it'll be like playing in a park.
You know, what's interesting, Bruce, is I think about your family and its support of the community, long-term support of the community, our families, and even golfing together over the years. I think about Mazingo, and what a prolific jewel we have here, Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. But talk about the Sechrist 18, the Watson 9. I mean, that's beautiful. So talk about the combination of those courses and what they mean to this city, the community, the region, the state, the nation.
Yeah, it's an incredible place. This is a terrific place to play golf. It's a great place to learn to play golf. It's going to be an even better place to learn to play golf with the Watson 9. And the Sechrist 18, I knew Don Sechrist. I knew Don Sechrist a long time before he built this course. I met with Don years ago when we were wanting to redesign the nine holes at Maryville Country Club. And so I traveled to meet Don. I looked at some of the courses that Don built. I've played a lot of the courses that Don Sechrist built. And Don made a special impact on this community because he did this course on a pretty short budget, and it's wonderful, you know. And so he developed something really, really good here. And our kids were able to enjoy that because it hit them at the right time in their childhood, where they were able to, you know, they had jobs out here, and they worked on this course both in the golf shop and on the golf course end. They worked in the superintendent's end with Ron. I think at least one of my kids did. I think maybe a couple of them, they may have put a few mowers in the pond. I think Teal did it on his first day on the job. But Ron hung in there with him. I mean, it's provided a lot of things for the kids, not just golf, but learning about agronomy and what goes on with those kind of things. It's been a great thing, John.
Well, and you talk about the impact, and let's go back to your youth. So you began golfing. You understood the importance of youth being involved in golf. And we talked to Tom Watson about core values. And you mentioned perseverance and all those excellent values. Now I want to parlay golf into your profession. You are well known in the world of dentistry in terms of implants and so much more. How did golf help you become that professional that you are today?
Hmm. Well, it gets back to some of those things about honesty, integrity, and things like that. And then it's a love of it. And so I don't really think I have a job. I just kind of go and play with the hobby every day. You know, I get out of bed and I'm ready.
We won't tell your patients.
No. But I, you know, it's in a good way. You know, because you get out of bed in the morning and you're excited to go there. It's the same with golf. You know, I mean, if I didn't love it, it wouldn't be a fun thing to go to the course and do. But I think it's a terrific thing. And so I don't know how that kind of intermixes, you know, with what I do professionally. But I think that it does in some ways, because you have relationships that you build at the golf course with friends and opponents and other people that you're around. So there are some similarities there, I think, probably.
Listeners, you're listening to All Things Northwest on KXVKRNW. We're talking to Dr. Bruce Twaddle, a local dentist, well-known in his profession. But he's been the mover and shaker, the visionary behind the Watson 9, the Watson-designed junior course at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. Bruce, listeners might be saying, well, gosh, I didn't know about this. I'm getting kind of juiced here. I kind of want to see this course. I want to play that 18 and that 9. I want to stay at some cabins and, you know, enjoy the lake and so on. What can our listeners do to find out more information, provide support, get a hold of people to say, hey, I want to be involved?
Well, there's a lot of ways to be involved moving forward, and that's the beauty of the project. It never really ends, and what that support is going to be, because Kyle and his group are getting to ramp up the junior program, and I think the sky is the limit on the number of youth that are going to be participating, not just in Maryville, right, but in all of Northwest Missouri, in all the surrounding counties, Worth, Gentry, Atchison, Andrew, even into to Iowa, to Taylor and Page counties. We expect to be able to service those kids, maybe even as far south as Buchanan County. So it's a youth course that's going to be able to impact them. So there is going to be a need for ongoing support for the youth program. And the city has already made a commitment to that youth program to help support the program, because we want to be able to reach out to kids of all across the economic spectrum. We don't want to hear a story about a kid 25 years from now who grew up and wasn't able to afford to play because his family couldn't afford the game for him. Well, him or her. And we're going to have scholarships available for those kids. We're going to make it available for everyone. There are not going to be barriers. There are going to be clubs that are going to be available for those kids that cannot afford to have their own, and it will be like their own clubs so that they can take them home at night and practice the game. So I think there's a need for ongoing support. And those listeners that are interested in that, they can contact the city of Maryville. They can contact Kyle Easter here at Mazingo. We have ongoing fundraising that's taking place with the course itself. We're really, at this point, we've raised about $670,000. John, we had our first donation. I go back on my calendar. It was September of 2013. We received our first donation, September of 2013. 15 months later, in December, we had $650,000 raised. And it was all private donations. Yes. We had some nice foundations that gave us some great donations. The Wadsworth Foundation is a great organization out of the Chicago area that made a terrific investment in this. And they're doing that with their program and Links Across America. But the Rickard Trust here in Maryville made a very nice contribution to help support us all the way through. And we've had some great contributions from businesses, industry, but individuals. You know, we've received donations anywhere from $10 to $60,000 that Orville Haywood made to make that short game development area possible. So, and we're operating inside Nottoway County Economic Development as a not-for-profit. So all donations are tax deductible, and anyone who would want to contribute can make those contributions to the Nottoway County Economic Development here in Maryville.
What's exciting is that we had a pretty long phone conversation many, many months ago, and you were talking about this isn't just youth right here in the local community, but as you just described, across many counties and state lines, et cetera. But it's not just for youth either. Seniors will come out. I know we've got a senior tournament up and coming, you know, in the tournament season, Northwest Missouri State University's women's golf team, you know, practice short game and so on. So very exciting. Closing question, July 2015. Tom Watson, maybe it's his final. British Open, walking down number 18, and you know, he has those feelings going down 18. July 15, overseeing the golf course, the Watson 9 here at Mazingo Lake Recreation Park. What's going through Bruce Tweddle's head in July of 2015?
I promise you we're not going to have an opening the same weekend as the British Open, because we're going to make sure Tom's here for the opening. I don't know, John. I've thought about that a little bit, but, you know, this isn't just... It, you know, you think Tom's talking about his legacies and things, and I think it's really a community legacy is what I'm going to be thinking about, because there's so many people that were involved with us in this group. You know, Mike Zach and Brock Fost and Troy Hayes has been just incredible, and the whole project, many others, Allison Hoffman, and you know, I'm gonna leave someone out. Right, Steve Bratt. Right. You know, we had so many people that have been so great to be involved with us, and outside of Maryville, Doug Klein from over at Mount City, others. But you know, without Ron and his group, none of it. You know, he was right there to make it all work together. And so I guess that's the thing that's going to be going through my mind. That's the thing I'm happiest about, is how the city and this entire community embraced it and gave so willingly to the project, and I think in a pretty non-controversial way.
Well, I know I can speak on behalf of our listening audience. I know I can speak on behalf of our citizens, city council. I hope I can. I hope I can speak on behalf of so many people. Certainly the good folks out here at Mazingo, Ron and Kyle and the whole team. that we give you heartfelt thanks, not just to you, but the team that's been around you. I know it's a team project, but this is a game changer. I've been saying that a lot. There's a lot of game changers going on in our community, and it is transformation. It is positive, and you brought that up early on. It's about that energy, being positive about something. So we thank you very much. We thank you for your time right here in All Things Northwest. Thanks, Dr. Bruce Twaddle.
Thanks, John. I enjoyed it.
And that's a wrap for this month's show. All Things Northwest is a program devoted to all the good about the people, places, events, and stories of our region. We thank our guests, golf legend Tom Watson and Maryville native Dr. Bruce Twaddle. Thanks, too, to our producer, Ben Nelly, a student here at Northwest Missouri State University, along with KXCV station manager, Rodney Harris. Friends, take good care, treat each other well, provide good works for others, and keep celebrating and advancing our region. I'm John Chasinski, and thanks for your support of All Things Northwest, KXCV-KRNW, Public Radio, and Northwest Missouri State University.
Support for All Things Northwest comes from United Electric Cooperative, Clarinda Regional Health Center, and Atchison Holt Electric. The music was recorded by vocal music education major Jordan Andrews, piano, music major Daniel Bates, bass, audio and production major Mark Ludwig, drums, and Dr. William Richardson, trumpet. This program is written and produced by multimedia journalism major Ben Noly. Join us again next month for All Things Northwest.